claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
I need somebody help, not just anybody help. You know I need someone help. When I was younger, so much younger than today, I never needed anybody's help in any way. But now these days are gone, I'm not so self-assured. Now I find the change of mind and open up the doors.
This is that Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal. We have a very special guest today, an old friend for many years standing. He and I became acquainted when he got deep into JFK research, on which he's now published several books. But he was at the time head of the FBI's Rapid Response Unit for, you know, hostage and other types of situation where they needed expert psychiatric analysis. He became so dedicated in his medical practice and helping others that he discovered many were addicted to opiates, but yet that it was exaggerated by the CDC. They've been publishing false statistics. So he went about exposing it and as a consequence found that his home was raided, his computers were seized, his assets were taken, his automobile seized. It was a stunning story. I'm a huge fan. He's ultimately had to seek refuge in Greece, but by virtue of dirty tricks being pulled by the FBI and the CIA, he's suffered inequities there as well. I'm just delighted he's back in the USA. Alan Salarian, I salute you, my friend. You have suffered more travails than most men would ever in several lifetimes. Please share with us an update on your current situation.
Thank you, Jim, for your wonderful words. I'm delighted to be back in the U.S. and partly precipitated by life situation and my wife's illness. But I'm very happy to be back and to be active again intellectually. So thank you for the invitation for the show.
Yes, yes, absolutely, Al. I'm just delighted to have you here. I think you were exposing one of the techniques they use, and they have massively in terms of the so-called COVID pandemic, namely falsifying statistics. And you know, I think the intel agencies and the deep state worries most about their methods being exposed. They took 38 million cases of the flu. And the following year, there were only 2,000 because they reclassified 37,998,000 as COVID to create the illusion of a pandemic. And then, of course, they were paying off hospitals for every patient they identified as COVID and even more, some 13,000 and then 39 for putting them on ventilators. It brought about the death of mass numbers. But the whole idea is a propaganda campaign using disinformation that appears to be objective and scientific, but is in fact manufactured and fraudulent. Your thoughts?
I have my personal doubts and questions about COVID and what has happened. But scientifically, I can say that the latest evidence is supported by a Danish study, which is really first class, recently published, showing that two out of four vaccines that the world have been told to use are really no more effective in preventing mortality, that mortality rates have not changed with Pfizer and Moderna vaccines. There is some advantage to the other two. The other major global observation I have about COVID is there are some proven, really scientifically valid studies showing that very simple treatments work very effectively. It's called steam inhalation, where you breathe very hot air once you're diagnosed with a virus. And because the virus is heat sensitive, it's the efficacy of this very simple system is almost 100%. And not one, but there have been four independent double-blind studies supported this. Why I bring this up is when there is such a simple method of fighting a major illness, you would never hear about this in the medical literature. You really have to investigate, and even when you let people know, it is pushed aside. Instead, we're all being told to get vaccinated, at least by two vaccines with doubtful efficacy. So these are my personal and scientific observations about the COVID.
Not only are they not effective, they're very unsafe, and they're bringing about a massive number of damaging deaths, even some estimates already, which I believe are conservative, 700 million are going to die. This Deagle.com projects that between 2020 and 2025, the U.S. population is going to drop from 330 million to only 65. And I think they're well on their way to achieve that, Alan. I believe in the coming months, we're going to see a vast number of deaths. We got all these world-class athletes on the international stage dropping dead. I mean, there's no explanation. They've introduced a new category for sudden adult death syndrome because they can't explain it other than on the basis of the vax. And since they're loath to do that, their whole objective is to conceal the fact that it's an instrument of death. They're making up new categories that no one has ever heard of before that are completely and utter nonsense, as well as taking out the foremost authorities on these subjects that can expose what's going on. All the truth tellers, Alan, are in the position of running the risk of harm or even death, just as you yourself have experienced from exposing the CDC's malfeasance in misleading statistics about opioid addiction to promote government programs.
I share your observations. And again, I want to refer to this latest Danish study because it's very well done. It's randomized. And really, Danes have a wonderful way of keeping statistics and following, monitoring facts. It clearly shows that the mortality rate did not change with Pfizer and Moderna, two of the leading vaccine makers. And despite this, the people are being forced to get vaccinated. That's the disturbing part.
Well, Alan, one of the subjects we want to address is the role of propaganda, disinformation, in inducing mass illusions. Some of the classics in my book include the moon landing, which was, of course, a worldwide fraud. I think its dimensions have only been exceeded by the coronavirus pandemic. But also, we have 9/11 as allegedly perpetrated by 19 Islamic terrorists under the control of a guy in a cave in Afghanistan. Completely absurd. Once you dig into it, you find two of the planes weren't even in the air. The other two were still in the air after they had allegedly, in one case, crashed in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, and the other hit the South Tower, where I obtained FAA registration records and found the aircraft, the physical aircraft used for those flights, were still in the air and not formally deregistered until 2005, raising the question as to how can planes that weren't even in the air have crashed on 9/11, and how can planes that crashed on 9/11 have still been in the air 4 years later? you know best JFK and how much propaganda we've been given there, where the CIA has gone out of its way to demonize those of us who are seeking to debunk the Warren Report, where you'll be interested to know I recently, this is now about 6 months ago, had dinner with James Files, who actually claims to have been a second shooter on the grassy knoll. And the most interesting aspect of what Files said to me is, once the government takes a stand, it's locked in and it will never change. So even though we know that a half a dozen or more of those 9/11 hijackers turned up alive and well the following day, the FBI has never changed its list. Even we know that Building 7 came down in a classic controlled demolition 7 hours after the destruction of the North Tower. They're not going to change their position, even though we know the North and the South Tower blown apart in every direction from the top down. All the floors remain stationary, that the buildings were being converted into millions of cubic yards of very fine dust, which, by the way, is the signature or among them of the use of nuclear devices, of which there are many very sophisticated that appear to have been employed on 9/11. The government's never going to change. Moon landing, the government's never going to change. Would you believe, Alan, a spokesman for NASA, this is now a couple of years back, reported that the greatest obstacle to a manned mission to Mars was the Van Allen radiation belt, seemingly forgetting that we're supposed to have transcended that obstacle back in 1969-70, because if we can't do it now, we most certainly could not do it then. And you'll like this even better, Alan. NASA was asking for help with a space poop problem, that their space diapers were only good for like 14 hours, and they needed help in solving the problem. But since these missions back and forth to the moon were 7 or 8 days, it shows the whole allegation of having gone to the moon was just but a massive pile of space poop.
Let me add some comments in support of your statements. That is, I'm not sure whether you have read my articles, but I published two articles, actually three articles on the Moon issue. And one is clearly showing that based upon medical evidence, it's clear that we did not go to the moon. Because when the astronauts Apollo, the astronauts came back, they did not show any signs of space sickness. They were able to walk straight. The radiation evidence is also as compelling that they were not protected against radiation because of the way they were dressed, and nobody got sick. The radiation evidence has been very, very compelling that way. Again, remembering also Armstrong's own words, he told us in his own simple ways that he did not see any stars. How was it possible to go to the moon and not to see stars? He was telling us, look, watch out, I did not see any stars. And of course, the rock evidence, the moon rocks, there are now three independent studies showing that they don't match the original statements. As you know, in Amsterdam, at the RISC Museum, the Apollo rocks, the moon rocks were made of wood.
Yeah, petrified wood. Yeah. Yes, petrified wood.
It's a petrified wood. And so come and explain this. Physical facts simply do not support the fantastic claims. But sadly, this is what we've been brainwashed all the time, that we made a great discovery and we walked on the moon.
Russian cosmonauts have observed that when they were in low space orbit, that the sky was just spectacular, ablaze with billions of stars. If you were on the surface of the moon, you'd look up at the heavens, and because there's no atmosphere on the moon, you wouldn't see refraction. They wouldn't be twinkling, but you'd have billions of points of light cast throughout the universe. And it was a blunder made during the press conference that the sky was pitch black that led them to this absurdity, David. But you're absolutely right. What you're saying is impeccable. And the fact that there were no after effects, in fact, even a communication was ridiculous between the moon. That's 250,000 miles. I had a comment from someone who was in the communication industry at the time that in order to communicate, it would have required a van the size of a bread truck. Well, I didn't see any vehicles the size of a bread truck on the moon, Alan. I mean, it goes on and on and on. I mean, this is just ridiculous beyond words. And yet...
And also, science is on our side. And I think this is where I wish American doctors and intellectuals or anybody should speak up. That is, Institute of Medicine in 2001 published a book that clearly saying that the radiation hazards have not been solved, and it's not safe to go into deep space. This is 2001. The nation's leading space doctors are saying it. So if we could not go to the moon in 2001, how was it possible to go safely in 1969? The medical evidence is very compelling. To believe that this is a mass delusion.
Oh, I couldn't agree.
Secondly, also, Van Allen is a legend in science. Okay, Van Allen said it's impossible because of radiation to go to the moon. He never changed his mind. He never spoke up about it, but his articles, he has 3-4 articles published in Scientific American and other journals. He never changed his mind until he died.
Yes, yes, yes. And, of course, you're absolutely right about an alleged moon rock given to a museum in Amsterdam, which turned out to be petrified wood. But Wernher von Braun, whom we brought over in Operation Paperclip, along with even thousands of Nazi scientists and intel experts into the American government because he was such a leading authority on rocketry, he'd actually estimated that to go to the moon, it would require 3 rockets that were larger than the Empire State Building. We wound up with this little punky thing by comparison. But he led an expedition to the Antarctic in 1967 to gather moon rocks that had been dislodged from the surface of the moon by the impact with small asteroids caught by Earth's gravitational field and brought down there. So they could produce bona fide moon rocks as evidence we'd gone to the moon. The only problem being they hadn't arrived on Earth by the mode of transportation alleged. So a lot of thought went into this scam on the American people. I think most of the world's population still thinks that moon rocks are the most convincing evidence. And yet, as I've just explained, they didn't come back from the moon with astronauts. That is a myth. That seems to have captured the imagination of a large part of the world's population that they hang on to dearly to this day.
And there is not a single Apollo image that shows the stars. It's for the common person, it's important to notice that. And again, remember what Armstrong said, I saw no stars.
Yes, yes, yes. So I agree completely, Alan. You've done so much work on JFK. I'm sure you are aware we've been able to establish that Lee Oswald was standing in the doorway of the book depository when the motorcade passed by, which not only means he cannot have been the lone demented gunman, he cannot have been one of the multiple shooters, of whom Ole Domegaard and I have identified 8. I have the name, rank, and serial number 6, where they were firing, what shots they fired, the impact they had. Ole's identified a 7th, with which I agree. And it turns out, Alan, there was even an 8th by this tree on the knoll opposite, where there was just a single tree. I've seen photographs in the possession of 2 different students, 2 different photographs of the guy standing up with a rifle. He's the only one we have yet to identify. but where the sponsors, each of the groups behind the assassination, appear to have put up their own shooter. We got a Dallas deputy sheriff. We got an Air Force expert. We got a CIA shooter. We got a Dallas cop tied to the CIA. We got a anti-Castro Cuban. We have Lyndon Johnson, personal hitman. We have a representative of Israel. I'm telling you, Alan, it's fascinating how this falls out. I think Lyndon, having been the brains behind it all, believed this was a way of tying everyone together in a blood oath so that if anyone talked, it would bring them all down as a measure to ensure their silence.
Let me address the forensic evidence on JFK, that again, the forensic evidence clearly shows that Oswald did not do it. It was not, it was mostly a frontal shot that killed, and Oswald was behind JFK. The Harper fragment supports the same conclusion, but very simple fact, the autopsy done at Bethesda Naval Hospital was fake, was flawed. Paper trail evidence there, it says the president's brain weighed 1,500 grams. Two-thirds of it was gone. I mean, that is such a simple, basic lie. A first-year medical student should be able to say, hey, there is something crazy about this. And of course, David Mantek's fantastic work proving the fakery of the x-rays. And all these things are happening at Bethesda Naval Hospital. So it shows you how deep the conspiracy was to assassinate our president. But medical facts are there for review. And it bothers me that with all the medical evidence we have and all the forensic evidence we have, we still have a museum in Dallas telling us about lies and promoting mass delusion. How is it possible? How is it possible to maintain a delusion by building a museum in Dallas and repeating the same lies again and again and again and again, for God's sake?
Well, this is why, as James Files observed, once a government takes out position, it never changes, which demonstrates this is not a scientific or rational investigation. This is a political stance where they're going to be unwavering. All rational agents, and especially scientists, know with the acquisition of additional evidence or alternative hypotheses, you may have to reject hypotheses you previously accepted. Accept hypotheses you previously rejected and leave others in suspense. Once you look at the description of the head wound, for example, from Parkland, what was a fist-sized head wound at the back of the head, and we have dozens of witnesses, including the physicians at Parkland, to Bethesda, where Ellen, Commander Humes, took a cranial saw to the skull of JFK and enlarged the wound from that fist-sized blowout to the whole back of the head as though something that could have happened had he been leaning forward, caused by a shot from behind. It was that blatant. But he did it in front of two witnesses, one of whom, Thomas Evan Robinson, would prepare the body for funeral. And when the Assassination Records Review Board began its depositions and so forth, he explained what had actually happened in relation to diagrams that showed some dotted lines that, oh no, the doctors did that using this cranial saw. And whereas you, and yet when the House Select Committee reinvestigated the case, believe it or not, they reconstituted the entire back of the head. You mentioned the Harper fragment. The HSCA isn't even consistent with the Harper fragment, which, of course, is this triangular chunk of skull from the back of the head, where David Mantek, whom you mentioned, has a book about the JFK head wounds available on Amazon.com, where it's about to come out in a book edition rather than only a Kindle online edition, and where he has, you know, established exact location of the Harper fragment. But it just destroys the HSCA. I mean, it's as though, Alan, they tried to reinvestigate the case and to make it done the way it ought to have been done in the beginning, a more perfect cover-up, But when you contrast the three images in the back of the head, it's startling. It's even mind-boggling. There's no way to circumvent the conclusion that this was totally fabricated and faked to cover up. And by the way, for those who may be unaware, 1,500 grams is too heavy. The average adult brain is only 1,350. So it was an abnormally large brain. And as Alan observes, half or more of his brains were blown out in Dealey Plaza. So it should have been a tiny fraction of that, completely different than what we have in the official autopsy report from Bethesda.
And what you say, Jim, about the news of JFK assassination being broadcasted and published before the president died, okay, that Christchurch Star published the news of president's death before the president was dead.
Yeah, that's pretty astonishing. Fletcher Prouty, I believe, actually read the papers there. He had been the subordinate of Edward Lansdale, wanted to get him out of town because he could have looked at the security and seen it was obvious this was a setup. The presidential limousine, for example, set out at the front of the motorcade when it should have been in the middle. They were all vehicles of different colors, makes, and models, so the conspirators could know where everyone was in the motorcade. They cut down the security. I found 15 indications of Secret Service complicity in setting him up for the hit, Alan. It's just astonishing the way this was carried out.
And we still have a museum in Dallas.
Yes. The government is not going to change.
Government propaganda.
The government isn't going to change. How right you are, Alan. Well, I'm just delighted to have you here today. We're about to hit our break, and it's just a delight. It's been years since we've been able to converse face-to-face, and I'm so pleased you could join me today. And we'll return to other cases of mass illusions which have been perpetrated by the government, the deep state, the Illuminati, whomever, to mislead, to deceive, confound the American people in their search for truth. Truth they're fully entitled to know about our nation's own history. We'll be right back with Alan Solarian.
Take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up. and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out "And Nobody Died in Boston Either." Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, this is Jim Fetzer, where I'm delighted to have as my featured guest today a dear friend, Alan Solarian, a psychiatrist who had a clinic in Bethesda that was very successful in treating patients with severe forms of pain, and that involved using painkillers or modifiers. He became a leading expert in the United States, if not in the world, in this area, but because in the process of doing research about these issues, he discovered the CDC was fabricating data and creating a false impression of an opioid epidemic that was not justified by the real data. And I think, Alan, that was a precursor to what we've had from the CDC with regard to the COVID pandemic, on which I've done a huge amount of research, and every aspect is as fabricated and fake. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think that if you scrutinize the scientific evidence behind all these major events, you find inconsistencies that a high school student should be able to tell. In fact, I'm going back to the topic of the moon, because that's such a central symbol for all of us. And what we're learning and what we're not teaching about the moon, that is two simple facts to point out one, the cameras were used at that time to take all these pictures and movies could not have operated in the high temperatures of the moon. The temperatures fluctuated from minus to 250 Fahrenheit. And the photographic equipment were not able to capture these pictures. I mean, this is a scientific fact. The second thing that I would invite everybody, I know it's a controversial and sensitive topic, but to review the tape left behind, the video recorded, left behind by Stanley Kubrick. Okay. I take him very seriously. Stanley Kubrick made an authentic confession. And a week after his confession, he was dead. I'm not going to speculate on why he suddenly died a week after. But that his confession has never been seriously challenged. Had he lied, had he misrepresented, I'm sure the video makers and the reporter would have been in trouble and the government would have gone after them. But if anybody has any doubt about the moon, I invite them to watch Stanley Kubrick's confession on YouTube. It's authentic and it's very telling.
Let me add a few comments. The dark and the light side of the moon have fantastic variation in temperature, roughly 250 below in the dark and 250 above in the light. I mean, it's just incredible, the variation. I agree. I do not believe the cameras could possibly have been effective. If even from cosmic rays, it would contaminate the photographic plates. They were mounted external to the astronauts' costumes, which actually is what they were. I mean, they cost them spacesuits, but they were actually just costumes. And they could not be focused or framed, and yet virtually every photograph, and there's a staggering number, is perfectly focused and framed. We even have some photographs that show, and because the moon has no atmosphere, no moisture, I'm convinced moon dust would no more be amenable to taking imprints, whether it's of moon rovers or their boots, than with the sands of the Sahara. And yet we have some photographs that show no imprints and others that show imprints. We have a rover with no tracks in front, in the middle, or behind, suggesting it was put down by a crane. But we also have footprints in the moon dust, including one of a sneaker from one of the members of the set who inadvertently wandered on and got captured in a photograph, Alan. It's unbelievable. So I don't think photography would have been possible on the moon. A dear friend of mine from JFK Research, who also did 9/11 and moon research, Jack White, did a simple quantitative calculation of how many photographs were alleged to have been taken on the various moon flights and how much time was available. And it turns out, given the official NASA numbers, they would have been taking a photograph every 50 seconds, every 50 seconds. And if you, it's as though they were doing nothing but taking photography, which is, of course, ridiculous. The photographs also show shadows casted in different directions, which would be impossible on the moon since there's only one very remote source of light, to wit, the sun, showing there were additional sources of light. We have, coming down off of the lander, you have illumination on the side away from the sun, which would be impossible unless there were a separate additional source. I've gone through all this quite extensively. I agree that it's a highly probable conjecture that Stanley Kubrick did this, that he was given money for his 2001 Space Odyssey. I've watched his confession, and like you, I believe it's authentic. Kubrick also, in his film The Shining, starring Jack Nicholson, gave a lot of clues that something was funny about the moon landing that many have discussed for quite a few years. And, of course, his final production, Eyes Wide Shut, was so massively edited and contrived that it's known as the movie that gave orgies a bad name. They edited it because it was exposing too many secrets of the elite, Alan, and it's a fascinating story. But you're not alone in believing that Stanley Kubrick actually did the filming for NASA.
And here is a question for you and for the public to think about. When we have such massive scientific evidence that delusions are being promoted, generated and promoted by our government, and how come we're falling asleep and we're not challenging this? And I have a two-part answer. One is because the people who are promoting the delusions are very sophisticated of overloading the public with misinformation. So for every scientific article or evidence-based article about the moon, about 9/11, about Sandy Hook, you get 20 fake articles. So there's a perpetual creation of controversy that doesn't exist. That is, reality does not seem to be enough because the propaganda machine is so strong and confusing and turning this into a never-ending discussion, eliminating certainty. What are your thoughts on that? I mean, I don't have any answer. I see this in any discussion, whether it's Sandy Hook or the moon or JFK. For every article, there are 10 fake articles and fake news.
Oh, Alan, I agree completely. They have whole units. They have operatives in the hundreds, perhaps even the thousands, that are constantly posting on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, whatnot. They're going through, they're scrounging around, they're taking down videos. I probably had 100-150 videos taken down from YouTube. I was just notified of one today. Another had been taken down because I was challenging the official story about the pandemic. So they just take it down. And they have batteries. They use AI, of course, to filter through the massive quantity of information out there using keywords to zoom in. And then often they have robotic automated responses. I have no doubt that many of the comments that have been posted on various of my presentations exposing these frauds, these false flags and staged events, were authored by members of a PSYOP team. And of course, when we come to JFK, they've been especially massive. They've induced, you know, authors, paid off vast quantities to write books that are contesting. I'm even convinced that Vince Bugliosi, whom I have met and have long admired in other contexts, published his book, Reclaiming History, because he was paid $1 million to do it, attempting to resuscitate the dead corpse of the Warren Commission report in 1,500 pages, and where he mentions in passing that my three assassination science 1998 murder in Dealey Plaza 2000, the Great Zapruder Film Hoax 2003, were the only exclusively scientific books ever published on the assassination. But while he mentions that, Alan, and I appreciate that, he didn't take the evidence to heart because we demonstrate the autopsy x-rays had been altered, the brain had been substituted, the Zapruder film massively edited. Once you grasp the import, you realize the alternatives as to who done it are very few. The KGB could not have altered x-rays in Bethesda Naval Hospital under control of naval officers and the Secret Service. Pro-Anti-Castro Cubans couldn't have substituted another brain. The mob couldn't have got a hold of the Zapruder film or the other home movies to massively edit. All that, however, was possible when you factor in that the Secret Service was involved, that they had control of the film, that it was sent to a secret CIA lab known as Hawkeye Works, adjacent to Kodak headquarters in Rochester, New York. And then the revised version was brought Sunday to the National Photographic Interpretation Center in Washington, D.C. to replace the original, which had been brought in the day before. So it's really fascinating, the resources. Once you expose the cover-up, the pieces tend to fall into place. We've even discovered, for example, who stood in for Lee Oswald in the backyard photographs. You may recall, when Will Fritz, a homicide detective in charge, interrogated him, and Fritz kept notes, he asked him about and showed him one or another of the backyard photographs, and Oswald said that was his face pasted on someone else's body. Well, Larry Rivera's did brilliant work on JFK. He's got a book now called The Four Horsemen at moonrockbooks.com with some of the most sensational cutting-edge research. Discovered by photo imposition that it was Roscoe White, the Dallas cop with ties to the CIA that stood in as a body double for Lee. And when you look at the silhouette of the backyard photographs, it fits Roscoe perfectly. But Lee was too slight. Roscoe had a much more robust chest and muscular build. And you juxtapose and you can see it's obviously not Lee. And what he said about it was true. In fact, everything Lee said about his involvement, including that he was out front with Bill Shelley, one of his supervisors, on the steps when the motorcade got tried, turns out to have been true as well. So it's fascinating, Alan, how many points you're making here about the power of the government to deceive and mislead the people.
What is so unfortunate is that the events that we're talking about, historical events, but it occurred 50, 60 years ago. 60 years later, we don't have the intellectual courage or the power to establish the truth because of propaganda. And I have a guess as to why, because if we admit that we did not go to the moon, if we admit that Oswald did not kill President Kennedy, then we have to question many other things that are happening in our lives today, and I think that's the central issue. We're burying the past, denying the past, so that we do not confront the ugly realities today.
Alan, I agree with you, of course, about that. In relation to the moon landing, JFK, and 9/11, how are the people suckered in? How are they played? What's the psychological mechanism at work over and beyond the massive propaganda of a false story, a cover story about each of those three events? It seems to me those are three of the most significant in recent American history over the last 50 years. Your thoughts?
They are pivotal events not only for America, but also for the world. I think that it impacted the world politics on all fronts. JFK was drawing the line for us and saying, look, we're not going to go to war just to make money. We're not going to go to Vietnam. Show me its relevance to national security. And I think probably, in my mind, I don't know whether you agree with it, is a stance on the Vietnam War and the toxic effects of CIA were the crucial determinants of his death.
Well, there were multiple factors. Yes, he was threatening to shatter the CIA into 1,000 pieces. He'd upset the Joint Chiefs by not invading Cuba, contrary to the unanimous recommendation, by going ahead and signing a nuclear test ban treaty with the Soviet Union against their unanimous opposition. And now he was pulling all of our forces out of Vietnam by the end of 1964, where the chief believed that we had to take a stand against the expansion of godless international communism. It was all based on the domino theory, which was historically absurd. The Vietnamese were fiercely nationalistic. There's no way they would have accommodated Red China intervening or taking over Laos, Cambodia, Vietnam, expanding to Indonesia. I mean, the specter that was drawn at the time was ridiculous for those who actually understood the geopolitics of the region. But he was also going to cut the oil depletion allowance, updating the Texas oil men. Bobby was prosecuting the mob in a way never before, bringing more indictments and convictions. He was denying or opposing Israel. David Ben-Gurion wanted Israel to develop nukes. Jack opposed it. I mean, all these were factors involved here. And of course, regarding the Fed, Jack had instructed the Department of Treasury to publish tens of millions of United States notes. I remember holding one in my hand as a young Marine Corps officer with a red embossed imprint saying United States note instead of green Federal Reserve note, on the ground that it was absurd for the United States to be paying interest to a consortium of private banks to publish a currency of the United States when the Department of Treasury could do it just as well for no interest at all. And this is a problem. Our national debt, Alan, as you know, is overwhelmingly interest on interest from publishing the currency of the United States. And there's no good reason that should take place. Jack saw through it all. He wanted to do a lot of house cleaning here, but the deep state would not let that come to pass.
I agree with you. I'm going to switch the topic to public perception of mass delusions in Europe versus in the U.S. Here is a personal observation during my time in Greece that the average Greek or the average European seems to be much more aware of the deceptions and mass delusions than the average American. For some reason, it's very well understood that 9/11 was an inside job. Many more people are aware of the moon fakery and all the tricks involved. This in contrast to U.S., that it shows a big difference of control of our media and communication systems, controlled by, I think for lack of a better definition, the military-industrial complex and money movers.
Yes, yes, yes. David, I can confirm that by friends who spent about a week in Abu Dhabi, which, of course, is the capital of the United Arab Emirates, and reported how everyone there knew that the Russians had every right to intervene in Ukraine, that the Russians were mopping them up, that it really wasn't a serious political debate about what was going on, and that the United States is the most controlled population in the world by way of the mainstream media, and especially television, which is used as a weapon of mind control. Paul Bernays, I think, was the first to appreciate its potential, but I welcome your comments about the role of television in propagating false beliefs, shaping the mindset of the American people.
Yeah, I think it's ongoing propaganda without any reality at the expense of the truth and at the expense of our expansionistic policies. There have been so many wars we have been engaged in, from Vietnam to Korea and more, Afghanistan, Iraq. We have never critically examined our own role of creating havoc in the world. Instead, now, if you look at the coverage in about Ukraine war, we only see the bad news that the Russians are doing. We have never looked at our own crimes in Vietnam and other places. And that's, to me, a very simple example of propaganda. We honor our soldiers who died. Yes, in Vietnam, 50,000 we lost, which was very sad. There is no word about 1.5 million Vietnamese civilians who perished because of the war. We're very good at exposing the crimes of our enemies. We're not as careful in scrutinizing our own crimes, whether it's Hiroshima, Nagasaki, Dresden. When there is war, it's ugly and horrible things happen, but it's not one-sided. And we have been engaged in wars, and we have done some horrible, horrible things that we have protected our people to discover from the crimes that we have committed.
Oh, Alan, you're so right. I mean, the propaganda with which we've been besieged, the CIA has undertaken assassination coups all over the world in hundreds of different nations, and they're relentless about it. Most Americans, oddly enough, still think that when the Iranians took the American embassy in 1979, that they were striking first against the United States, not realizing they were seeking to regain control of their own government from a coup carried out in 1953, executed by Kermit Roosevelt, who was a cousin of Teddy, to take out the democratically elected government of Iran and replace it with a Shah who ran a tyrannical but pro-Western, especially UK and US oil industry agenda, and had one of the most vicious secret police ever known to the world in history.
It's so true.
And it worries me that some of our presidents, by the way, you know, just to reflect too on JFK, Bill Clinton, when he came in, he wanted most to know about JFK and about UFOs, whether anywhere of alien origin, and he was told those were above his pay grade. Donald Trump came in with every intention of releasing all the documents about JFK, but he was only partially successful. He was still blocked. There are still some that remain. Though what has been released, and it continues, has been quite revealing. I mentioned Larry Rivera. In the last set of releases, there were plenty of documents about what happened in Mexico City, where Oswald is alleged to have gone to the Cuban embassy in search of a visa to get him to Cuba so he could make his escape to the Soviet Union, confirming his role as an assassin on behalf of the KGB. But it was totally fabricated, Alan, believe it or not. I mean, a plan to perpetrate this fraud, a subplot within the larger plot, was very elaborate, and it even involved participation of three CIA assets who were presidents of Mexico. Three presidents of Mexico were involved in this charade. Unbelievable.
What is equally disturbing and unbelievable is that the very basic facts.
Hold that thought, Alan. We'll pick it up when we come back from this break. Alan Solarian here with me today.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years.
to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, I'm here today with my special guest, Alan Solarian, MD, who's a psychiatrist who was the head of the FBI Rapid Response Team for hostage situations and a whole host of other issues. He's got a wealth of information and background, and we're principally focusing on the role of propaganda, television, to control the opinions of the American people, to make us more amenable to political manipulation, to promote the agenda of the party's in power. Alan, continue your thoughts, my friend.
I'm going to come back to the central issue that concerns me as a doctor, as a psychiatrist, and as a citizen of this world, and that is governmental and institutional and scientific integrity. If we don't have scientific integrity, if we don't have governmental integrity, we're in deep trouble. This is why JFK is so important. This is why the moon matters. And this is why it should be a bigger challenge to question our government's support of lies. This is why I bring up the idea that Smithsonian institution and government institutions and private museums at Dallas are still promoting lies. Simple facts prove that we did not go to the moon. It's as clear because Armstrong said I did not see any stars. Medical evidence is as compelling that none of the astronauts showed any evidence of space sickness or radiation illness. The cameras could not have worked. And the rocks that we brought from the moon were fake. And these are all scientifically proven facts. And now, this reality, we're still promoting the idea that we went to the moon. And it's a very big lie. And it's a very big lie that challenges our government's integrity or commitment to scientific integrity. The same thing about JFK. All the medical and forensic facts clearly prove that Oswald did not do it. And then it's really an insult to our nation, to our concept of integrity, to have a museum in Dallas promoting lies and saying Oswald did it and showing fake evidence. So these are, I mean, you're a philosopher too, not only scientist. These are philosophical issues about integrity. Can we imagine a world where we give up on integrity, where we give up on morality, where we give up honesty in scientific examination? This is where the big challenge is for future generations. This is where we need to draw the line. The discussion is much bigger than the moon and JFK. The discussion is about governmental integrity and whether our government should support propaganda and false news.
Oh, I agree completely. And that's one of the great roles of Donald Trump, in my opinion, calling out fake news. He made Americans generally far more skeptical of the role of the mainstream in its reporting and its delivery of misinformation, to wit, false information, being done deliberately, which qualifies it as disinformation, to affect the target audience of the American people. To follow up on William Casey's description, when he first met with the members of his staff after becoming director of the CIA under Ronald Reagan. And I have a friend who was there when he made this statement to verify it, because it's often been claimed not to have ever been said, to wit, our disinformation program will be complete when everything the American people believe is false. And Alan, I think we're pretty close to realizing William Casey's vision.
You're absolutely right. And I don't have any answers, except I think what we're doing now, disseminating the information and forcing our fellow citizens to look at the facts and scientific evidence.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, you know, my whole effort has really been devoted to trying to debunk the fabricated stories of the government about these complex and controversial events, where I specialize in bringing together groups of experts in areas where I am not, in order to dissect and sort out what actually happened, beginning with JFK, but then with 9/11, even with Paul Wellstone, Sandy Hook, Boston bombing, and more, where Amazon, Alan, you may be unaware, has now banned 6 of my books for blowing these myths apart. They can't have it, and I'm convinced they're acting as an agent of the state, and therefore they're violating the First Amendment in so doing. They claim they're a private company, but why would a private company in the book business not be enthusiastic about a book about Sandy Hook that had sold nearly 500 copies in less than a month? Why would you ban it? It was destined to be a bestseller. It would have made them a fabulous sum of money. The royalties that come to an editor from Amazon are relatively trivial. Amazon would have made big bucks on that book, not to mention on the Boston bombing, Orlando, Dallas, Charlottesville, and Parkland. They even banned my moon book, Alan. I mean, it's just astonishing what these companies acting, I'm convinced, in concert with the government have been able to get away with.
I agree with you. I think, sadly and indirectly, the U.S. influence is also influencing Europe and the rest of the world. But Europeans seem to be much more aware and have much more access to objective news. So there's a split there. at least in Europe, that I find it very healthy, that people are much more aware of government lies and misrepresentations than we are here in our country.
Yes, I think that's absolutely true. Absolutely true. That the rest of the world is far more knowledgeable and clear in their understanding of these events than the American people. It's just astounding, because we think of ourselves as so sophisticated and knowledgeable when, in fact, we're actually being subjected to, treated as lab rats by the media, where it's massively controlled by the Rothschild banking empire and their Israeli allies. I have a panel of 15 officials with CNN, Alan, 100 officials with CNN, every one of whom is a dual U.S.-Israeli citizen. I have another panel of 100 executives from NBC, every one of whom is a dual U.S.-Israeli citizen. I have another panel of 100 executives from the New York Times, every one of whom is a dual U.S.-Israeli citizen. In the first political speech I ever gave, which was on Tax Day, 15 April, 2008, on the grass outside the Capitol in Washington, D.C., at a Ron Paul Freedom Rally, I gave a speech, subsequently published as 9/11 and the Neocon Agenda, in which I asserted that no dual citizen should ever be put in a position of policy shaping or decision-making in the American government, because you cannot know that their loyalty to their other state does not outweigh their loyalty to the United States. And sad to say, we've allowed these neocons, most of whom are Israeli zealots, to have far too much influence over our government and its decisions. It's really tragic. But the most powerful lobby in Washington, D.C. is the AIPAC, American-Israeli Political Action Committee, they call themselves, where Cynthia McKinney was the first to blow the whistle that every new member of Congress was asked to sign a pledge to put the interests of Israel ahead of even that of the United States. And if they refused, and those who refused were few and far between, they found their finances dried up, they'd be confronted with a well-financed alternative candidate, their district be redrawn, and they'd be in dire straits. I spoke with Cynthia about it after she made that revelation, and she told me she didn't realize she was letting a cat out of the bag because she thought everybody knew, but actually nobody knew. No one was talking about it. It was like the best-kept secret in Washington, D.C.
Very interesting, very informative, and very disturbing at the same time. Coming back to our topic of mass delusions and how to differentiate or diagnose them, there's a common denominator for all mass delusions that if you put it under a microscope and examine it scientifically, you're going to find very simple, straightforward scientific medical inconsistencies. So in some ways, looking back, it is possible to prove with certainty about the moon, about JFK assassination in Oswald. And of course, your expert area, Sandy Hook, if you look at the facts and some of the statements, I'm sure you remember, it was claimed that the pathologist at Sandy Hook did the autopsies of 8 children in 4 hours. He said this. Dr. Carver said this. He was the pathologist.
Yes.
8 autopsies in 4 hours. It's like, yeah, how can you do 8 surgeries in 4 hours? It's an impossible. And he was saying this on national television. Believe it or not, I watched him on television and I had goosebumps. I said, is he mispronouncing? Or is he saying something insane? Something irrational he is saying? But this is what I'm pointing out, that every engineered mass delusion. When we look at, when we go back and look at the facts, we're going to find the evidence there. And of course, then it becomes a controversy because then they come back and they create 10 more articles with misinformation. I think this is what you have also experienced. And then, of course, the legal harassment that's associated with it.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, Wayne Carver was deeply involved. He was a medical examiner for Connecticut. He actually said during his very bizarre press conference, not only that he'd done this vast number, he couldn't remember how many girls, how many were boys. They were all shot 3 to 11 times. That's really fantastic all by itself. And that he hoped this didn't come crashing down on the good people of Newtown. This was a community event. This the leaders of the community, Alan, I'm convinced, from the head of the school board to the mayor, that would be the first select man, to the chief of police, to the town attorney, to the town clerk. They were all complicit, so far as I can tell. And this was a Barack Obama, Joe Biden, Eric Holder event that they wanted to have change the American opinion, where Eric Holder had given a statement to a National Democratic Women's Conference back in 1995 that we have to brainwash the American people to change their attitude about guns. Sandy Hook, I believe, was a result of that plan to brainwash the American people. It was designed with the advice of social psychiatrists and psychologists and psychiatrists as how to have maximal emotional impact. So having him first shoot his mother and then shoot up 20 first graders and 6 adults was their solution. And the way it was presented was a bit clumsy, but it had tremendous emotional impact. Sad to say, the American people, sincere but gullible, contributed between $27 and $130 million in donations to the grieving families and survivors for faking having lost friends and relatives at Sandy Hook.
And do you know that David Wheeler was a professional actor pretending to be a grieving father? He was a professional actor. He had made the movie in 2001, I think, The Faithful, a well-known figure. He is now shaking President Obama's hand at the White House as a grieving father. This is more than absurd.
And his wife is
picking anybody up.
And his wife, Francine, was also a professional actor. And she was a former financial assistant as I recall, Maxine White, who is the leading fundraiser for the Democratic Party, which can tell you what this was all about. And David Wheeler actually played the role of a SWAT team member walking up and down Dickinson Drive in uniform, carrying a weapon upside down by the magazine, Alan. This is so ridiculous. The lowest ranking Marine recruit wouldn't carry a weapon upside down by the magazine. I mean, this just displayed his total ignorance and that he was playing a role which turned out to be virtually cartoonish in character.
There was also a very disturbing exploitation and vilification of people with psychiatric illness. Here they created Adam Lanza, who supposedly suffered from autistic spectrum disorder. But something does not click, something does not match. Autistic spectrum disorder, people, victims of this illness, are not violent. They are usually very shy, socially isolated, socially awkward individuals. There is no history of violence associated with this particular disease. But now the media and the reports created a villain out of Adam Lanza and therefore misled the nation about a very serious psychiatric problem. And as a psychiatrist, I was disturbed, and I published this data. I published an article, Human Errors May Explain Prejudice of Mass Media Against People with Autism. Because here now we're seeing two things. We're vilifying people with psychiatric disorders for a political military agenda. And they are defenseless. There's nobody to defend them. And this is also what I fault my colleagues in psychiatry for not speaking up and writing about this and saying, look, something does not match. Something does not match. This does not match. Autistic spectrum disorder people do not do things like this. We know this. We should examine the truth closer, as I pointed out, the pathologist's statement of making conducting eight autopsies in 4 hours, medically irrational statements that would expose the falsehoods.
Yes, I agree completely. Well, it's just amazing how one of these phony events after another get played up. And it's just ridiculous. In Buffalo, I have the benefit of a private investigator by the name of Brian Davidson. We went through the video frame by frame. It's very much like New Zealand. You got the perp driving around in a car. He's got a weapon that's all painted up. There are no shell case ejections taking place. They never hit the ground. He points at bodies, but they don't react as they would if they were hit. There's no blood. They fall in the wrong direction. You have bodies piled up before he even shoots. Inside, he fires point blank at the cranium of a victim lying on the ground, and you just see a puff of air. This is in Buffalo. We got a black guy who claimed he had an hour's conversation with this alleged white supremacist the day before, talking about critical race theory, and even bought him some Gatorade. And he was timing the shots to the fraction of a second. He said the second shot was 1.7 seconds after the first. Alan, this is just ridiculous. And as Scorpio observed, what self-respecting white supremacist would spend an hour talking with a black guy about critical race theory? I mean, it's just a joke. And Uvalde, very similar. They actually even recycled one of the allegedly slain teachers from Sandy Hook, Vicky Soto, to play the dead wife of the guy who'd organized a drill at the high school just 2 weeks before. And it's the same woman. I mean, it's ridiculous how insulting. They rub our noses in it, Alan, just directly, so blatantly. I think it's a display of arrogance, you know. Catch us if you can, but we don't give a damn. Even if you figure it out, you're not going to make any difference. We're just going to move ahead with our agenda.
I think it's a show of primitive power. Not, I mean, you call it arrogance. I say that it's power. I dare you to do something about it. We're doing it. We're getting away with it. We've been getting away with it for 50 years, and we will continue doing it. I think that's the main message to us, the fellow citizens, sadly.
Alan, I'm going to want to open the line up to callers, but I have a special message for Paul. I want you to participate, Paul, but I want to let a few other callers get in a few words edgewise before you join. In any number, the case, the number is 540-352-4452. 540-352-4452. Mitchell will take your call and get you on the air with Alan Solarian. Alan, I'd like you to give kind of a diagnosis of the psychic state of the nation, because it seems to me we're in very, very bad shape.
I think we're in sad shape that we have lost our ability to think and analyze data. And human beings in general are very vulnerable to misinformation, but psychologically, the nerve point is fear. If you manage to scare people, you grab them by their throat, and they will listen to you, and they will follow. And I think the theme here that we're seeing with all kinds of organized events is generalizing fear, inducing fear, and making sure that people would be scared enough to go along with whatever we want them to do, whether that's illness or terrorism or war. It's fear. It's a very basic evolutionary psychology that's being used against us now. So when people are afraid, as if they're less rational in observing the data and in listening to the material and in scrutinizing it, because they're scared. So we all go along with the propaganda, the misinformation, because we're too scared, we're too nervous, we're too preoccupied with our survival instincts. And this is what I observe.
Alan, there's a rather bizarre development vis-a-vis the U.S. military. I want your opinion about, since the military went woke, it can't find recruits. The worst recruiting environment since the end of the Vietnam War. Army only at 40% of its recruiting number, despite raising the maximum enlistment bonus from $40,000 to $50,000. It now offers new recruits up to $10,000 for just showing up to basic training in 30 days. It's no longer asking for a high school diploma. Major General Carabarine, head of the U.S. Army Recruiting Command, said, "We've never offered $50,000 to join the Army." While the Army runs enemy lesbian wedding ads, it's pushing away the recruits it needs, young patriotic men from traditional backgrounds. When the Biden administration brass decided to mandate vaccination, they automatically rejected the 60% of potential recruits who aren't. They have stopped worrying about winning wars and are working to establish the Army as a global leader in DEI, which is diversity, equity, and inclusion. Obama's Army Secretary Eric Fanning had already ordered mandatory bias training for soldiers and employees in senior leadership and management position. They're now preparing for accommodating men in women's housing and deploying HIV positive. Alan, your thoughts after we return from this break.
Take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Alan, it seems to me from the perspective of the psychology and attitudes of young men, the idea going into a woke military is very off-putting, I would think. Even the most enthusiastic young man who wants to defend the nation isn't going to like the idea of tolerating transgenders and getting woke instruction and critical race theory and all that as part of their agenda. I think it's just a disgrace, and that this is a deliberate agenda to destroy the American military with a combination of vaccine mandates, which are going to decimate their ability physically, and woke ideology, which destroys their emotions attitudinally. I think this is a recipe for disaster. If you wanted to eviscerate the American military, and I say this as a former Marine Corps officer, I cannot think of a more effective combination of approaches than to achieve exactly that effect.
The more people we have in the army or in the police forces, the fewer people we have who can express their opinions. They look what happened after 9/11. We created a force of 1 million security agents at airports and other places. But basically, it's a force that's pro-war, not for peace. Now, I raise a philosophical question. Are we at a point where we think we're committed to resolving conflicts through dialogue and negotiation rather than war? And that's really a choice between us. So I have mixed feelings about expanding our army at a time that I wish we expand our forces to dialogue and negotiate. This is what I see.
Well, to me, it's just ludicrous.
Popular view, but I do believe that we are at a point where we can negotiate instead of war. And then we have that capacity to resolve conflicts without military conflicts. But do we have the will, or do we have the conviction to do so? Otherwise, the financial and political interests are constantly promoting war and creating war, generating war. We're always looking for an excuse to go to war. And it's not simply Russia, it's not simply China and others. We are the main force provoking war around the world in the name of democracy and peace.
Yes, yes, yes. I know we're a very warlike nation, and I think it's despicable. But the point I'm making is just in terms of the national defense. You can't have an army made up of gays. I mean, you know, most of those who are going to be serving in the military are straight. They can be black, white, Chinese, Japanese, diverse backgrounds. But the very idea of, you know, having a multicolored flag flying over military bases, in my opinion, that's obnoxious and insulting. And I personally respect the right of individuals to their own sexual preference, different strokes for different folks. But the idea of trying to make the military a woke organization is complete and utter insanity. It's self-destructive. It's not going to work under any circumstance, and the Army is reaping the consequences. They're offering 40, 50,000, and they still can't get people to join. They're dropping the requirements of having a high school diploma. They still can't get people to join in Ellen. There's an irony there. The military is becoming more sophisticated, more dependent on technology, computerized components and all that. Lowering the educational requirements is not going to strengthen the military. You're going to have recruits or enlistees who are not equal to the task. I find all this futile and self-defeating.
I hear you. I hear you. I don't really have basic information necessary to make a judgment about some of the things that you're saying, I admit.
Well, it's fascinating, Alan. It's wonderful to have you here. I'm going to reiterate, if any of you would like to speak with Alan Solarian, we're here. We're opening the lines of 540-352-4452. I see we do have a first caller here from Mary Code 816. Give us your first name and state and join the conversation, please.
Well, Jim, I didn't hear anything. I don't know what you were talking about. I kept calling back, and I just heard nothing today. So I don't even know what the show is about. I called Mitchell because I was trying to see if I did something wrong.
Wow. Mitchell, have we not been going out over the air?
Let me turn this off.
Yeah, we've been going out, Jim.
I wonder why Brian couldn't hear the show. Brian, my guest today is Alan Solarian, MD. He's a psychiatrist. He had a clinic in Bethesda, very successful treating pain problems. He exposed how the CDC was falsifying opioid use with fake statistics and data to promote the idea of an opioid pandemic, very much as what's going on here. We've been talking about a wide range of issues regarding the deception of the American people related to the moon landing, the assassination of JFK, 9/11, Sandy Hook, and a host of other issues, where Alan is an expert, you know, in this field. Generally, he was the head of the FBI's rapid response team in dealing with hostages and the like for many years, and was widely praised and admired in Washington, D.C. until he ran afoul of the deep state by exposing the corruption of the CDC, which, of course, had been manifest in spades in relation to the coronavirus pandemic by fabricating data in, you know, massively. So he's been persona non grata. Your thoughts, Brian, if you can pick up on that.
Well, to me right now, you know, people just don't understand certain things. This world is just total illusion. It's a world that's created by quantum mechanical energy. And if you look into the science of that, what they tell you is there is no such thing as time. Okay, so time is even an illusion. And what the dark do is they create even more illusions so that they can manipulate us. You know, originally our third eyes worked. You have a third eye. I have a third eye. We all had telepathy, and they've taken that away. Everything is fake. You know, your president's fake. You have a fake third eye now with TV. You have fake telepathy with your iPhone. We have fake food. Now even people are fake. And all of this is part of their agenda, because if they create a world where everything is fake, and you can look it up on the internet, go to Wikipedia, and if you look at the science on quantum mechanics, they'll tell you they discovered, I think in 2018, that time doesn't exist. We're in these timelines, and by continuing to create all this fake stuff, when they do their black magic garbage, it becomes more real. So that's all I have to say on it, because I didn't hear the show. I called back about, I don't know how many times, I don't know why my phone didn't pick it up. So anyway.
Right, I don't know why. I mean, how do you normally listen to the show? Do you listen by calling?
I get my iPhone out. You know, I used to have a flip phone, and now I have this new iPhone, and I kept dialing in. It said, welcome. I would hear, you know, the voice, welcome to, you know, Revolution Radio, whatever. And then when that would go away, I'd just hear nothing. And so I called Mitchell to see what was going on, and, you know, I just got the call back now. So you
don't listen by going to freedomslips.com, Studio B, at the time the show is broadcast. That's not
how I dial the phone number, okay? I literally dial that area code and phone number, and then I get it that way, but today I didn't.
You're talking about 540-352-4452?
No, it's that. What is that number?
I see Mitchell's putting it up here. The studio line,
518-906-1859. And
right.
Today I got nothing on that.
I wonder what's going on there. Mitchell, do you have any idea why Brian would have been unable to hear the show on the call-in?
No, Jim, it's bewildering. I looked at the back end. Everything's streaming out to the services okay. So the Vocast and the Zeno stream look great.
Very good.
Don't know what happened. Can't say.
Okay, very good. Well, Mitchell, while I've got you here, do you have any questions for Alan? I mean, this is an unusual guest with a remarkable background and qualifications. Any thoughts or questions you'd like to share?
Yeah, I'd like to ask Alan about the mass psychosis that we're living in today. It's so many different levels, and it's such gamemanship by the powers that should not be. Is there any way that we can escape it?
I don't know. I think that it comes back to the very basics, that all these delusions, all the lies, all the propaganda, if you put it under a microscope, if you have the time, and examine the facts, you're going to find some inconsistencies that should wake you up to the possibility that maybe you're not hearing the truth. This is my invitation to anybody about any news that we hear. Today, we cannot trust the news we hear. Not always, not 100% of the time, but at least 20, 30% of the news we're hearing are lies and propaganda. And the average person must be aware of this. Secondly, there is a theme, there is a general theme that we should be aware of, that everything is fear-driven. The average citizen around the world now is constantly reminded of the dangers. There's always a danger coming, a danger of death and destruction. Okay, to me, that's a red flag It's the only thing that we're talking about all the time because it compromises our intellectual ability to rationally examine the news that we're hearing. So the examples are plenty. It's not possible to do it instantly because there is too much information. But look, there is something to learn about JFK's death and assassination, even so many years later, or about the moon. If we can understand the moon and JFK and the lies that were generated and still promoted to museums and government money, I think we will be in a better position to review and understand and reach objective conclusions about the news today. It's impossible to understand what's happening with COVID crisis unless we understand the lies about the moon, about the lies about JFK and Oswald or 9/11. It's continuous. These things are now more relevant to understand. Otherwise, today, like everybody else, we will be scared of death and immediate dangers. And that will then take intellectual discussions away from us.
Paul, by the way, you're welcome to call in if you're standing by. Please do. Alan, I'm so glad to have you here today. So glad to have you back in the United States after your sojourn in Greece. But I take it was a fascinating experience. I've been to Athens myself. In 2006, I was flown to be on television for a three-hour program about 9/11 by the leading muckraker in Greece. They had a panel of 12, and I was told going in only a few usually speak up. And I said, no, not tonight. And indeed, every one of the 12 asked questions. They had a sensational series of video clips from 9/11. It was a fabulous program. They extended it an extra half an hour. So it was 3.5 hours broadcast worldwide by satellite. Alan, in some ways, I think that may have been the high point of the 9/11 truth movement, because when I returned, I found members of scholars had sabotaged the organization. I'd gone off the reservation by no longer supporting the nanothermite theory, which was hopelessly inadequate. I began interviewing Judy Wood about her DUA approach, which at least had greater viability than the nanothermite hypothesis, and would feature her 15 different times pioneering interaction between radio and the computer by having people go to her website. We'd look at diagrams, photographs, and all that sort of thing, short video clips with Judy. But that upset Steve Jones, Kevin Ryan, and a host of others, and they really sabotaged the organization, conducted a phony poll of the members as though they'd somehow lost confidence in me, when I simply wanted to encourage considering all the available alternative explanations, which is a proper way to proceed scientifically. And, you know, it all was very, very unfortunate. But in my opinion, the problem with the 9/11 truth has been limited hangouts. Judy Wood herself even represents one, because she's not willing to talk about who was responsible and why. Similarly, with architects and engineers, they promote, you know, nanothermite, which can't possibly be responsible. It turns out for an explosive to destroy concrete, it must have a detonation velocity of 3,200 meters per second, steel 6,100 meters per second. But the highest detonation velocity attributed to nanothermite is only 895, meaning you can't get there from there. And Judy Wood advocates a directed energy weapon but cannot accommodate the results, for example, of the U.S. Geological Survey study of dust samples from 35 locations in lower Manhattan that showed a whole host of elements that would not have been present had it not been a nuclear event. Judy can't explain it and doesn't even try, at which point she's lost her scientific credibility. Alan, just any thoughts you have here as we enter the...
I will share a personal story from Athens, Greece. I managed to have a radio interview and a newspaper interview about JFK and the assassination and Oswald and so on. It was very well received, basically going over the basic facts that Oswald did not do it, that was an inside job. And key people were involved, like President Johnson and so on. It was an interesting note. The reporter and I formed a good relationship, I should say, after this interview. And then a week later or 2 weeks later, I approached her and I said, look, I'm also very interested in talking about the moon hoax, because we did not go to the moon. And I would like to discuss that with you for another article. Here's the bottom line. A week later, she came back and she said, that's not a touchable topic. We cannot do it.
Not a touchable topic.
Yeah, and now I imagine for some reason they had decided it was okay to talk about JFK, but it was not okay to talk about the moon. So it tells you how propaganda machine works everywhere, not only in the U.S. I think our reach is everywhere.
You would have thought it would be the other way around, that it would be okay to talk about the moon, but not about JFK. Fascinating, Alan. Fascinating. We enjoyed our visit to Greece. I mean, all expense paid. How often do you have an opportunity like that? Jan really had a grand time. We went to the Parthenon, the whole bit, you know. It's just as Athens is such an important city in world and intellectual history. Socrates, Plato, Aristotle, all, you know, the founders of philosophy and among the greatest. Aristotle, one of the greatest philosophers of world history, just a marvelous legacy. And democracy even began in the city-states of Greece. So we have much to learn from Greece, and it must have been enchanting while you were there in many different ways, Alan, even though it was a form of involuntary isolation from the United States.
It was wonderful. It was wonderful, and I love Greece. I will go back. Anybody who has not been there, that's one of the places you must visit.
Brian, if you're still standing by, you're welcome to add a further thought, but you may have...
Well, you know, when you were talking about all these things, what I thought about was the protocols of the elders of Zion, because the very first one is place our agents and helpers everywhere. Number two is take control of the media and use it in propaganda for our plans. Let me see. Number five is use Freemason lodges to attract potential public officials. Let me see. Seven is appoint puppet leaders who can be controlled by blackmail. And I just, there's 24 of them. And anytime you start talking about all this stuff, I go, well, that's, you know, protocols of the elders of Zion number such and such. Because, you know, once you have that, you just see everything going on today is in the protocols of the elders of Zion. So I found it interesting. You know who Edward Mandel House is? He's the founder of the Council on Foreign Relations, and he's actually the father of fascism. It originated from him, and he was trying to toot his horn about that in the 20s and 30s, and the mainstream press said, you have to shut your mouth. We don't want the freedom-loving American people to know that. Well, when he died, one of the things they found in his possession was a copy of the Protocols of the Elders of Zion. So, you know, those people, this has just been going on forever.
Yes. Yes. Yes, Alan, I don't know if you have further thoughts about Brian's observations here. I've just been delighted to be back in contact with you, my friend, and to speak with you face to face. And while they can only hear your voice over Revolution Radio, if they go to my video blog, James Fetzer, you know, BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer, they'll be able to watch us have this conversation. Your final thoughts as we reach the end of our discussion today?
Yeah, my final thought is the beginning point, that it's we're living in a world where our governments and other powers are very capable to generate mass delusions. So pay attention to it. Know that this is a reality we're living with, that delusions are dictating our sense of reality today. And to know, we must examine the facts very carefully and to go back to understand why we lied about the moon and why we keep lying about the moon and Oswald. That's my message.
Well, devoutly to be wished, Alan, that the American people should see through all the illusions, because they're being bombarded with propaganda on a daily basis, the most massive propaganda campaign in world history. I would surmise that everyone else, other parts of the world, have a more clear understanding of these major events in American history than do the American people, where I believe that we are entitled to know the truth about our own history. And I value your contributions toward that end, my friend. And I salute you, and I'm just very pleased you're back here in the USA.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you, Jim. And my gratitude to your leadership and to your intellectual courage and what you have done for us.
Well, those are very kind comments, Alan. Doing my best. And of course, you may or may not know I have a petition before the United States Supreme Court as a result of a lawsuit brought against me to try to punish me for publishing the book about Sandy Hook with 13 contributors, where we established the school had been closed by 2008, that there were no students there, and that it was a FEMA drill for which presented as mass murder to promote gun control, for which we even have the manual. Alan, that was too much for the deep state. Amazon banned the book after being on sale for less than a month. As I said, sold nearly 500 copies. You would have thought they would have loved that kind of a hot-selling book, but no, it was not to be tolerated. Thank you all for listening. Thanks to Brian for calling in, and to especially my guest, Alan Solarian. Welcome back to America.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me,
give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence